We're here on location, Coastside Edition, with Sophia Lane, that's me. And today I have my special friend, Virginia Chancarelli. Thank you for meeting me today. Coming all the way over the hill, I know it's hard, but you're here a lot on the Coastside.
I love it here.
Yes.
I love it.
We love seeing you here.
I love it here. I mean, it's such a special place, not just for us, but for anyone who visits out here, really. Pillar Point Harbor, just walking the coastal trail, and it's a very beautiful place, and, you know, with the wildlife out here, and, you know, we're dredging, so we're basically trying to create this beach area again, so it's safe for young kids if they want to just go and walk near the water, and surfers who want to start learning how to surf. So they're just, it's a very special place, and I'm just so glad that the community has been so supportive of the Harbor District, and we've just got great staff, and we're working together to make this area more of a destination place for everyone in the Bay Area and beyond.
It's pretty amazing, and even just around the wildlife piece that you mentioned, we literally just saw two whales, like spouting, feeding, lunging. I see a bunch of grebes floating out there. Of course, there's pelicans doing their famous dives for fish into the ocean. We're seeing some pipes here. There's so much here. But first, we know each other, of course. We're like, I feel like kindred spirits for these past few years we've known each other. But tell us a little bit about how did you get to Half Moon Bay and doing what you're doing with the Harbor District? Like, what was little Virginia like?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, thank you for asking. I actually am on two boards, the Menlo Park Fire Protection District Board over the hill, and I was appointed to the Harbor District Board in 2015. I think there was a need for, someone had resigned from the board, and I think, you know, is it a turning point for the Harbor District because they were trying to launch this Surfers Beach replenishment pilot project. And I thought that I brought my, you know, financial skills and, you know, my love for the outdoors and just the environmental aspects of our coast in California, you know. And so I interviewed and I was able to be appointed. And the first thing I am proud to say that I did was to get appointed to the Beach Replenishment Committee and the Finance Committee, which actually suited me very, very well.
And then
released the funds to actually get this pilot project going, right? Because the board, I think at the time, was a little bit at a standstill, and especially with just four members. So in some ways, I may have been the swing vote to at least get this project started, the dredging project.
So it's a place that's near and dear to your heart. And, you know, it's so amazing to be able to be working to support something like that, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It's, I think, one of the best things that the Harbor District can do.
Yeah.
And with the community's tremendous support.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I hear something. We're standing right here. Folks might hear in the background. You know what it sounds like? Do you remember, I don't know if people still make these anymore, remember those rain sticks? They were like really popular like the 80s.
Oh, they're great. They're very calming.
And they're very calming, and I don't know what they were filled with, like rice or something, or some kind of grain, like a long stick with those hollow, and you can flip it into something cool. And I'm hearing this little like shimmery sound. I'm getting a little closer to it.
It's water and sand.
It's water and sand.
Yeah, going through
these
the pipe.
Big pipes are about like a foot and a half or diameter.
And they're,
double of them.
Where we are, but then they're all along this area along the shoreline of Surfers Beach. And you can see further north towards the harbor when you go around the bend towards the launch ramp. You know, there are a lot of them there.
A lot more. So we're here basically at the northernmost end of Surfers Beach. It's high tide, so that means the water reaches the rocks that support that stretch of Highway 1, which is a pretty interesting stretch of Highway 1 because you're driving along your car, especially in the southbound direction, and you're like maybe 15 feet from water.
Yes.
Right? It's just kind of a crazy thing, which I think really highlights the importance of protecting that beach and providing a little bit more of a barrier, because there have been years where we've had massive storms that have threatened and you know, chunks of
tides, just
the sidewalk next to it have fallen away. So why don't we walk down this way towards, like you said, towards the main harbor, the harbor and the launch ramp, and where the main operations are. And we can see we're walking along here, the walking around along the start of the breakwater, on the sand along these two pipes.
Yes, this is the breakwater to our left that goes that abuts the water, and this was an Army Corps project that's probably about 60 years old now. It protects the coastside community, really. I mean, it is it's essential to have it here for residents and businesses. And right now, it's an Army Corps project, like I said, that happened, that they did 60 years ago. And we're, you know, relooking at this because of some of the erosion that's happening, and how the breakwater technically has caused the harbor to fill up with sand, right? Because the sand doesn't have any place to go,
right?
Which is the reason the dredging is so important,
right? Because it's a natural process of the ocean interacting with the coastline to pull sand out and then to redeposit it.
Migration.
Right, and it moves.
Yes.
And so if you have something like a breakwater blocking the natural migration, then you end up with too much sand in one place because it's blocked and contained within there, and not enough somewhere else, which is what you've seen, right? With the harbor.
Yes, which is why this dredging project is so important. It's really the first one of its kind for the Harbor District, because it involves two national marine sanctuaries, the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, which the Harbor District is actually in, and then the Greater Farallon Marine Sanctuary, which is just a little north, and we're not technically, the Harbor District's not technically in it, but it is, abuts it close enough to where, you know, they just want to make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to wildlife protection, actually, right?
Because we do, as we said, we have some pretty special wildlife, whether we're in the legal bounds of the preserves or not. We literally just saw two whales out there, probably like maybe a couple hundred yards offshore, if that. So it's a pretty amazing, you know, challenging feat, because as you said, you're interacting with so many different kinds of agencies and dealing with the funding and, you know, environmental impacts and managing all of that.
We've had great partners. So the project is, I would say it's close to about $7 million when all is said and done. And again, it's a pilot project, so we want to see what the results of this project are and then figure out how we can make this a more regular routine so that we don't have a deferred maintenance cost and issue, right? Because deferred maintenance costs can really add up.
And they do,
And by the time you need to have something done, it's ridiculously expensive and more time consuming because you're not regularly maintaining
I can share that experience for our local schools, where if you don't set aside funding to regularly maintain your facilities, that's your indoor facilities and your outdoor facilities, then after 50-60 years it adds up, right? Especially out here with these saltwater conditions are pretty tough on things like metal, like it kind of corrodes in like a day. It's tough, and then you end up having to rebuild things. And yes, it's beautiful, but it's definitely a very costly thing to do.
It's Mother Nature.
It's eventually, over time, you know, the deferred maintenance is a capital investment.
It is. It really is. And it's you know, for various reasons. Safety is a big reason for us, right? The environmental piece, I think, is really important too. I mean, we just, you know, I think just when you have a better beach, I think it just attracts, I mean, you can see the whales. I mean, they can actually swim in. And last year, I think we had a whale that was kind of stuck in the harbor.
I remember that.
It was a little, I think it was a baby whale.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a juvenile.
Yeah.
It was quite the sight. Because it was like, was it in the inner harbor?
In the inner harbor.
That's what I thought. Because it was pretty confined in there, and there was a lot of concern maybe it wouldn't find its way out.
But and then it did.
The scientists knew. They told us.
But it's not just that. I mean, that baby whale or that young whale was so smart because that young whale had all the food at its disposal right there.
So it's like...
So, it's and it was all beautiful.
Buffet.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's all a little buffet.
And calm waters.
The fish market.
Right? Safe, it was calm. Yeah. It was safe and calm. And people got to see, got a really great education when it came to actually observing actual wildlife. And such a special mammal like the whale, which you don't get to see all the time, right?
Just say, excuse me if they're having a conversation.
No worries, no worries. We're talking about whales. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But the safety aspect, I think, is really important for dredging and just to keep, not just for the people who use the beach, but just in this whole area, right? If you look at the businesses, you have Sam's Chowder House, the Beach House, the RV park, right? I mean, you just want to make sure that things are maintained well, I think is the best way of putting it.
Yeah. So question for you, kind of taking it back to the personal side of things, how do you do it all? You're on the fire board and it's in Menlo Park, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you hear the Harbor District, two very synergistic perhaps, but you know, they're worlds of their own.
Yes.
And you're involved in other things as well, I know. What drives you to keep doing this? It's not, I'm going to guess it's not the glory.
There are lots of glories here because you really do help the community, which is really my biggest thing. I care.
That's a huge reward.
It's probably the biggest reward. Yeah. Otherwise, I think none of us would want to even deal with public service because of, you know, the bad parts. But the bad parts are just not enough to deter the people who care about the community the most, like you, right, with your school district stuff, the stuff that you're involved with, the education. It's just so important. And I just care, you know, one of the things I really care about is this nexus between economic development and environmental sustainability.
Yes.
So I was on the California Commission for Economic Development, appointed by Governor Schwarzenegger for like 7 years. And you know, you really get a grasp of the big picture economy, right, in California. So it's agriculture, goods movement, right? So I'm thinking of
trade.
Those two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and biotech, which is big and prevalent in San Mateo County out in South San Francisco at Oyster Point, where the Harbor District has an understanding, memorandum of understanding with the city of South San Francisco to help manage Oyster Point Marina, which has the only public ferry terminal in San Mateo County. So that terminal is a great transportation vehicle for a lot of people who work in the biotech industry, right?
I remember hearing about that ferry and thinking, how cool could it be? I used to commute up there to Genentech for a long time.
Yes.
On 92 and 280, and it was fine and generally most of the time not impacted, except when, of course, Devil's Slide slid. And there was finally the initiative there, speaking of big infrastructure projects, to build the tunnel, which we now know and love as Devil's Slide Tunnel.
Yeah, that was a big project.
That was a huge drilling straight into that rock.
Yes.
A bore that you can now drive through without worry.
And without even thinking about it, right?
I mean, we don't even think about it. You're right.
Yeah, and so I think that was probably the last major, major infrastructure project here on the coast, which really connects in so many ways to the non-coastal cities, right?
Yeah.
And further north, going, if you wanted to go into the city, or in your case, going to South San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I would say, like I said, the dredging area, this dredging project is another big infrastructure.
Yeah, it's huge.
Quote-unquote infrastructure capital project here.
Right, right. And so there's the things that you need to do every so often. And I appreciate how you describe all of those interconnections, not only at a local level, but at a state and really a federal level too, between sectors that it's easy to think about as wholly contained and distinct from one another, but you can't, separating transportation, from the environment, from housing to education, to even fire protection. Like, these things are all so intimately related.
Yes.
And connected and interdependent. So
yes.
It's kind of an interesting, I think, perspective on the work that you do, both on the fire protection side as well as the Harbor District, I'm sure it's interesting. A lot of people, Harbor District. Okay, I guess that does something with the harbor, but what do harbor districts do? What does the Harbor District of San Mateo County do?
Well, we are a safe harbor. Mm-hmm. So if anyone had an emergency and needed to a place to stay or park their boat or dock their boat, right?
They know Half Moon Bay will welcome them.
Yeah, well, we have to. It's under the charter of the Harbor District. Yep. And they're up and down the coast, but we're the safe harbor between San Francisco and Monterey, really. Santa Cruz has some, but I don't think they're a harbor. They're more of a port. They're Santa Cruz Harbor, but they're more open than we are, which is why this breakwall is just so wonderful.
Because you can
just...
More of the marina.
Yes,
Because the nature of their harbor is so... Their bay of Monterey Bay is such... a larger, deeper bay versus Half Moon Bay, although it has the word bay in it. It's a fairly shallow, and I don't mean shallow in terms of depth, but if you look at it on a map, like it's an inlet.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's a safe harbor.
Yeah, right? It is, especially because of the breakwaters that were put in. Like you said, that's a very rigorous way of protecting boats that need to be, you know, safe.
Yes. And then we're also... I mean, we attract a lot of tourists who come here, and I think it's gaining more traction in that area, especially after COVID.
Yep.
Because this was the San Mateo County coast, which is in general pretty rural.
Yeah.
This is probably the least rural part because of the harbor. But if you go further south into San Gregorio, Pescadero, I mean, we have a lot of state beaches there. So we were attracting a lot of visitors, and a lot of those visitors were at our harbor to buy fish off the boat, fresh fish, because it's one of the harbors, I think probably the only one in this area, where you can buy fish off the boat.
Which is pretty amazing.
Oh, it's one of the best parts.
I mean, to buy fish off the boat. I did a tour a couple years ago, the Fish and Flower Farms event. I'm not too sure the order of those through the Coastside Chamber of Commerce, and it was so awesome. I mean, not only seeing the farms and the flowers, but seeing the fish, which to me was a little bit less like clear because I just hadn't spent as much time with that part of it. Right. I don't love being on the open ocean because it doesn't do good things to my
balancing.
Kayaking is a different story. I love the kayaking; is awesome. We do bring our kayaks out here sometimes and launch out at the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club or pretty much like any spot because it's pretty great. But to come to the harbor and see what a working harbor actually does and looks like, you know, in 2025 with all this like high tech stuff and all these concepts and these things and political things and whatever going on, and you see, you know, I just was when we were about to meet up, I was chatting with some of the guys, the guys that had gone out fishing, and they were out at that table by the launch ramp,
the cleaning station.
Yeah, the cleaning station, cleaning their fish, and it was pretty. It's so grounding to see something and connect with something so simple and straightforward. And not that it's simple and straightforward what they do, because let me tell you, like, hearing the stories of what it takes to catch a fish.
Well, like, so we do support the commercial fishing industry in San Mateo County too. And, you know, there are boat rentals, you know, they're basically tenants, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, or of the harbor. And so, you know, they are able to bring people out on tours or fishing expeditions. And I think there's some, I don't know if there are any right now that take some of the universities, the research departments out on the boats.
That makes sense.
Yeah, for marine research.
So the Harbor District basically sets up the rules and manages people coming in and out of the harbor, right?
Making sure that the harbor's safe and clean.
Safe and clean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's huge. I mean, it can be, it's a working harbor, right? And I've seen some harbors that are in conditions that are not as good as ours, right? But I think that we attract just so many different types of users and visitors and
whale watching boats
and
fishing boats and you know, we even see a couple of sailboats out there right now, right? Like,
yes.
And like you said, kayaks, like there's, we do have, I mentioned the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club. It's the coolest, in my opinion, yacht club anyone will ever see because it's like so down to earth, Half Moon Bay. Like, it's just, it's chill. It's a great vibe. And like, people just go and have fun. And then, you know, if you're lucky, you might see some birds out there, or, you know, if you're really ambitious and you go out to the open oceans, you can't do from there. But, you know, generally people do that on a boat.
Well, you could walk the coastal trail out to Mavericks, right? And just see these gigantic and awe-inspiring waves, right? I mean, so you really get everything. But I also think that, you know, getting back to your comment about agriculture and, you know, when you were here for that event by the Chamber of Commerce, I view what the Harbor District does and really what the commercial fishing industry is all about is they're the farmers of the sea.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so really what they're doing is not that much different from, except they're catching fish instead of growing vegetables like Brussels sprouts or, you know, raising cattle for meat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but the fishing industry is so highly regulated right now that we've had shortened seasons or no seasons at all for salmon and crab, and so that's their way of trying to just keep this balance, you know, between the supply and the demand for seafood, right, and for fresh seafood, really.
Yeah, and I know that most of the operations here, because it's not a huge, large harbor like L.A. or even
or Crescent or City,
Crescent
even
City, right? Like it's not, you don't get big giant boats that have massive nets that go out there. Generally speaking, it's generally the smaller boats that do a lot of line fishing as well.
Well, they do have some with the big commercial equipment, right? There are some that, I don't know if they go to Alaska, but they go, they can go pretty far north. But generally it's around here down to Ventura. You're, like you said, closer to Southern California.
Yeah.
But like they're trying to maintain a balance between sustainable fishing and what the demand is for seafood by the restaurants and the consumers, right?
Yep. No, absolutely. Well, and of course, we have lots of restaurants that serve great fish, local fish.
So lucky to have that. So
well, Princeton Landing and others that like will serve fresh fish off the boat here, which is amazing. To just have this right here in our community is pretty exciting.
It's probably the best of all worlds. You can get the coastal trail, the environmental and health benefits of just walking, right?
Yeah.
And you can see fishing boats, and then you've got the commercial fishing industry here. And so we get, I think, the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
And we're so lucky, Sophia. We're so lucky.
We're so lucky.
Well, we're lucky that we have a community that also cares about what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes the public process can be difficult or challenging or trying, whatever, but I think we all try to do our best to maintain a balance and also keep the character of the coast side, which I think is just so important. And I just think our greater community, and I consider myself as part of the coast side
community.
Absolutely,
I consider you part of the coast side community.
We all care.
You live or work here or visit enough.
Yeah.
You're part of the coast side community.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people think
listening to this podcast, you're part of the coast side community.
Yes. And I feel like it, and I love it. Like, it is my community.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you. You make it sound easy, but I know it's a lot of hard work, so
It's a lot of work, but there's no way to do it without the community support.
100%.
So thank you for doing your podcast, and congratulations. I think it's a much-needed resource for the coast.
Thank you so much. It's been so great to see thank you and talk with you again. Let's have a little hug here.
Thanks, Sophia.
You can't hear that, but we just hugged. It's
and
great.
Come and visit. Come visit the coast and the harbor. Come visit the harbor.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. On Location, Coastside Edition with Sophia Lane is produced by Bright Now Media. Stay tuned for our next episode coming soon, and thanks for listening.